Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. It's decaf week here on the Coffee Hour. Sarah's on vacation, just me, so not as much caffeine in the studio today. But we have, it's Friday the 13th. Interesting topic today. What do you think about when Friday the 13th pops up on the calendar? What is that human nature draw you to, or maybe those societal norms and things like that, that point you to on Friday the 13th? We're going to talk about it in just a moment. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu, or you can find them on our website, kfuo.org, in the underwriter section, Concordia University, Wisconsin. Go Falcons. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Dr. Robert Bennett. He's author of I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, as well as another book, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. He's also executive director of Luther Academy and a regular guest here on KFUO. Dr. Bennett, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Coffee Hour for the Friday 13th edition.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you, Andy.
Thanks for being our guest. You travel the world all the time, see what's going on in the church, and really what's going on around the world, especially when it comes to spiritual matters, and always have some interesting stories to share with us. Give us a little bit of background for those who don't know your story and the work that you do. Tell us a little bit about your work traveling around the world and all the people you get to meet and the things you learn about, especially about these various cultures and how that intersects with the church.
Absolutely. I must have one of the most wonderful calls, I think, in our synod. My job is to run around the world, setting up education for pastors who haven't had education, bringing the best professors into them, the best literature into them, and helping those church bodies to train the pastors in areas they just never had the opportunity to do before. Luther Academy is a marvelous organization that I've been working for about 4 years now, but it's been around since about 1989 and still going strong.
In other parts of the world, where have you spent most of your time? I know you've done a lot of study and really gotten to know some people groups really well.
Sure. I spent a lot of time in Africa and related to Africa, Madagascar. I did my PhD research in Madagascar, intending to study conversion because it's one of the fastest-growing Lutheran churches in the world. But as a result of that, most of the conversions that were taking place were the animistic people, the traditional religions who were becoming Christians, becoming Lutherans. As a result of that, there was a lot of spiritual warfare taking place and a lot of demonic activity in these individuals who used to literally worship demons. You know, talk about superstitions, and their whole culture and life was based on various superstitions, and when the gospel came to them, how it changed their lives and how they became, you know, faithful, confessional, and even liturgical Lutherans.
As you travel the world, do you see superstitions like you've seen in Madagascar or in North America? We've got a lot of superstitions here in North America, too. Do you see superstitions in other cultures as you travel the world?
Superstitions are everywhere. It's so blatant in our faces. A lot of times we don't even think about it or recognize them for what they are anymore. The whole idea of a superstition, of course, is the way they define it would be something that's irrational or misunderstanding science or some misunderstanding of causality or magic or those type of things. It's generally what we talk about when we talk about superstitions. And so as you start to look at this topic, you start to see things coming up everywhere around you. You know, one of the ones that you see quite a bit driving around, at least in this part of the country, is all the various crosses or memorials or you know, pictures and flowers that are placed out on corners. Maybe somebody had died in the past in an accident or something, and there's an idea that there's something special and spiritual about this location where, you know, people go back there to remember what happened. That's something that's on one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have things like Friday the 13th, you have black cats, you have the way people use prayers in very superstitious ways, and how to determine the sex of a baby. There's so many of around us, but it really, when it comes down to it, they all really kind of have the same problem and the same creator.
But there are no superstitions associated with America's biggest religion, football, right?
Oh, right. You know, you got to put on the right clothing, you got to paint your face the right way, and if you fail, if you're the one person who doesn't do that, the team might lose. obviously that's not true of all football fans or anything else, but you're right. Those are the extremes that people fall into. You know, I've got a job interview today, so I better wear, my blue suit, and I got to remember to wear my lucky socks that day or whatever, right? I mean, they're all around us, everywhere we look.
They're all around us, but where do they come from? I mean, where do these superstitions come from that especially the ones here in North America that we experience?
Well, ultimately, the superstitions, you want to kind of get right down to what they are. They all fall into the realm of idolatry. Hmm. We're trusting in something other than God, or we're thinking that we can control God or the world, or even if we don't believe in God, the forces or whatever someone might believe in, that we are somehow influencing, controlling, avoiding a possible circumstance, don't walk under a ladder, don't break a mirror. All these things really stem to back to the father of lies. The devil, he's very easy to understand once you kind of put him in two categories. He is either using fear to convince someone to do something, or he's using a lie. And most of the time, it's a mixture of fear and lies. He really doesn't have any power, especially for Christians, outside of that. But if he can convince us of a superstition, well, then he can take us down the road to additional superstitions. Like if I, wear my lucky socks, and then, I got this job. And so now I think, my lucky socks will be good for this and that. And then maybe there's something else lucky that I can turn to. I remember recently being at a group, and someone was having a baby at that group, and there was a whole bunch of sisters related to the mother, and they were doing dowsing over the stomach of the mother, trying to determine if this was a boy or a girl, have some type of coin or something to a chain and spinning it around, depending which way it turns. So we see this connected to all aspects of our life and society. But really, at the heart of it is, it's the devil's activity of leading us to a fear or to a lie. Because if we understand things properly as Christians, the Lord is with us. We're called simply to be faithful in what we do. The Lord is the one who's protecting us. Nothing happens anywhere without the Lord's understanding of it and the Lord's ability to turn even evil as a result of it into good, as we're reminded in Romans 8 and so forth. So that's a little bit of my thoughts on it, Andy. I'll give you a chance to respond.
Sure. Can you expound on that a little bit more? What does God's Word teach us about superstitions, what we should do with them, or how we should respond to them, or these ideas of superstitions? What does God's Word teach us about superstitions?
Well, it teaches us, first off, that we are to have one God, and one God alone. Of course, all of our Lutheran listeners who are aware of their catechism, the first commandment itself, this understanding of us having one God. Luther, in his large catechism, would remind us that we have many gods. Any substance that we're looking for in the sense of seeking a benefit from or trusting in or even be afraid of is becoming a god for us, whether it's in relationships, in our material possessions, in our superstitions. And so, you know, the clearest commandment of all is that first commandment, that we have one God, and that one God is the one who has everything in his hands, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful. And really, with that proclamation, that confession, especially now when we understand that one God who came and became man, who died for us, carried all of our sins to a cross, rose again, ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit. If we understand that properly, if we can confess that properly, there's really no reason to be afraid of anything, to trust in any superstition or whatever the case is. The problem we have is sin still dwells within us. No matter who we are, no matter how faithful we be, no matter how much we trust, that old Adam is still within us, and that old Adam is always a target for the lies and the fear of Satan. And so that's why we need to be constantly being reminded of who we are, that we are baptized, that Christ has incorporated us into his death and resurrection, that we have an alien righteousness that he has provided to us, and that he has promised that we've already died with him, we shall rise with him, and there is nothing in this world that needs to be feared because he is in control of all things.
And let's expound on that a little more, too. What do we do with our fears? If we are experiencing fears with this Friday the 13th, you know, the idea that something bad might happen, what do we do with those fears?
Well, it's like any other fear, whether it's superstition or fears that we might be experiencing from anything else. We need to hear that gospel. We need to, you know, exactly what I just expounded on. We need to be hearing this all the time, and especially when we're dealing with struggles related to real fear related to some of these things, we need to hear it from the outside, because we're conflicted in ourselves because of the fear, because of the lies, because of our old Adam. We need to have someone else who can speak these truths to us, speak through that fog, and that someone that should be a part of every Christian's life should be their local pastor. To trust that pastor and to go and say, you know, Pastor, I'm dealing with this, and let the pastor deal with the person one-on-one, and okay, let's look at these fears, and let's look at the Word of God and how it relates to the fears, and let's look who you are, you know, that God has placed his very name upon you, and that name means you belong to him, and he's going to take care of you. But we need to hear this from the outside. So when we're dealing with these fears, it's great, of course, to go ourselves, to read the Word of God. The hymnal is a wonderful resource. In my Afraid book, I list 70-plus hymns in the back of that book out of our new hymnal that are comforting in times of spiritual worry and danger. But we need to read this stuff, sing these things, trust in these things, attach ourselves to promises where Jesus has said he'd be the Word and the Sacrament. But at the same time, we need to have that from the outside coming in, and the best place to receive that would be from our local pastors.
The Reverend Dr. Robert Bennett, author of I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, and Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. You can find his books at afraidbooks.com. He's also executive director of Luther Academy, lutheracademy.com. Dr. Bennett, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Wonderful to be with you.